Blog Talk Radio.
The question is, when you're standing at a crossroads, what do you do? Real sweet, when a fork is in the road.
When a fork is in the road, what do you do?
When the world is on your shoulders.
When the world is on your shoulders, what do you do?
When your back is up against the wall.
When your back is up against the wall.
Come on.
What do you do?
What do you do? You hold on and keep the faith. Tell somebody on your road, stay. Come on, tell somebody sitting around you, keep the faith. Come on, encourage somebody else, keep the faith.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning into the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show. I hope that all is well with you. This is Mary Hollis, your host and director of the next chapter of Widows Ministry. It has been a beautiful day in Georgia. The whole week I heard that it's going to be really nice. So if you can get out and smell the, look at the birds and smell the air, enjoy yourself this week. Going to be a beautiful week, and don't stay inside. If you just have to walk around your house or wherever you live, let the morning and evening bring me words of unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Psalms 143:8. Well, let's get started on the seven stages of grief. Last week, I mentioned to you that I will be discussing the seven stages of grief throughout the month of March. The shock and denial, pain and guilt, anger and bargaining, depression, reflection, and loneliness, the upward turn, reconstruction and working through, acceptance and hope. And I also mentioned that these different seven stages of grief also have a lot of emotions that goes with them, such as numbness, emotional outburst, fear, disorganization, loneliness, guilt, depression, new strength, new pattern, and hope for tomorrow. But tonight we are only going to end denial. A numb disbelief occurs after the devastation of a loss. A person may deny the reality or gravity of the loss at some level to avoid pain. Shock provides emotional protection from being overwhelmed all at once. this may last for weeks. It's very common to experience denial during shock. We can't believe it. We don't want to believe it. This can't be happening. There must be some mistake. How many times have you heard this way and someone else that you know have felt this way? In shock, can't believe that this is really, really happening. Disbelief. But shock is built up in response to the loss of a loved one. And it can be a loss of a job. People go through these seven stages when they lose a job. A divorce, or a pet. Once again, shock provides a cushion and emotional protection from being overwhelmed all at once. Yes, it gives you that cushion that you need to get through that time in your life. I want to tell you a quote that I've heard and I also read in the book as well. When we lose someone we love deeply, we are left with a grief that can paralyze us emotionally. And it does. That's how shock feels. When they die, a part of us dies too. Did you feel that way when your special loved one left you? Well, I also mentioned to you that I wanted you to purchase A Widow's Touch. I hope that you have it tonight, because you need to have it every Tuesday night in the month of March, because I'm going to go over some of those stories, and I'm going to go over a few tonight. So if you don't have A Widow's Touch, you can purchase it on Amazon.com for $14.99, and Amazon will get it to you in a few days. One thing about Amazon, I must say, I'm impressed by that company, because the things that are providing, and that they have provided for us during this pandemic, they get things to us quickly. I have Amazon Prime, and I get things in 2 days. So order it, and you'll be very much encouraged by it, and it'll be good if you could read along with me and different stories I'll be pulling to that will be related to some of these stages. Now, my story is on page 7, and the name of my story, God Prepared Me for the Storm. I'm not going to read all of my story, but I'm going to mention something from my story relating to shock and denial. When my husband Al transitioned, I experienced both shock and denial. Denial helped me to plan the funeral. I just did what had to be done without thinking that it was my husband. I planned this funeral, but I didn't think who I was planning it for. It was just the motion. You heard that expression, just going through the motion. I cried at the beginning, was very devastated, and just cried at the beginning. But I don't think I cried again until a week later at the wake, when I finally realized that my husband, Al, was gone. I just kept myself focused on preparing for that funeral in a denial stage. I just didn't want to believe it was him that I was preparing this funeral for. And I know, I think I remember my sister saying when she came, I heard her talking to a couple of other people, you know, I haven't seen her cry. And I also wasn't eating well also. But I wasn't focusing on my loss. I knew I had to get this done. And I had two babies I had to take care of. So I went into shock and denial. And shock and denial, like I mentioned before, is a cushion. And it protects you from being overwhelmed all at once. And it's a good thing. Also, I experienced too, when I got home from the hospital, my whole body, my nerve just went from the top of my head to my feet. I was just tingling. It was like my nerves was all over my body. I had no control over it. And I feel like my body was going into shock. So we experience all these different emotions when these things happen to us. So I hate to say it, but it's normal, natural, and necessary. I am going to go to the next story. It's on page 19. It's not really a story. She only makes, in this, Benny Franklin. She's from Decatur, Georgia. And all she could say in her, she didn't write a story, but this is how way she felt during this time. And I'm going to read these three questions. This is where she was. She could not write another sentence to talk about her loss. She said, "Lord God, why? Lord, where do we go from here? Lord, will you dry up my tears so I can go out among people without crying? Lord, why do I find myself in this place without curtain?" All she felt that way. Hold one second, please. I want to turn the heat down. A little bit of warm in here. Okay, so this is the way she felt when she was trying to write a story. She came up with these questions. All she could think about are these three questions. Lord God, why? And I'm sure many of you have had these questions or questions. Any type of question, but you had questions. Why? Now. So she cried. I guess she was full of tears. Lord, will you dry up my tears so I can go out among people without crying? I was one of those ones that loved to cry. Not loved to cry, just couldn't, had uncontrollable tears. When I went back to work, when anyone come to my office and say, "My condolences, I'm so sorry," I would bust out because I'm crying. I had uncontrollable tears. So I can imagine what she was going through, because I know how I could not stop crying. But she was in shock, can't understand why this was happening to her at this particular time. This has been years since she's gone through her loss. She's strong, and she's encouraging others as well. I am going to go to page 55 if you have your book. I couldn't face the real world. This was written by Mandy Walker from Decatur. Miss Mandy is no longer in Georgia. She's now in Mississippi back home with her family. But this is what she wrote. I'm just going to read pieces, passages, different sentence that relates to her shock. On page 55, she said, David and I were married almost 40 years before God called him home. It was January 2004 when my husband's health began to fail. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and only had a few months left for us to be together. On May 11, 2004, God called him home. We had a great marriage, and I miss him. It was hard to explain how I felt. My heart was so hurt so bad, I felt I couldn't live. And here he said, I was afraid of being alone. For a long time, I felt myself leaning on my daughter and her kids. I just couldn't face the world. I was afraid of being alone and making decisions for myself. I could go to the church trying to cope with being alone. However, I couldn't bring myself to go into the church, her church house. Feelings were very, she was very devastated in her loss. And she was in shock and denial that this happened. She cried all the time behind closed doors and sometimes at work. I stopped going to church a few Sundays because I couldn't stop crying and feeling sorry for myself. I began to feel that my children and grandchildren didn't love me. They would when my husband was alive because they had stopped coming around and checking on me. The phone calls stopped coming and the presence of my friends got shorter. I spent the night with my daughter a lot, but when I started feeling that I was in the way, my heart was hurting so bad, even when I was in my with my family. I didn't want to go home and be alone. She didn't want to face what had happened. Still in denial. I was afraid of being alone at night. Time went by. She stated on page 56. I began reading the Bible and talking to God more and more, remembering what the word of God was saying to me. Then the light came on in my mind and in my heart. I began to realize that I was being selfish and was having my own pity party. Don't we have those pity parties? I'm sure you have one or many. Then I realized that God's word told me that he would never leave me nor forsake. Yes, he will not, especially widows. I started hearing a soft voice, the Holy Spirit, talking to me. I realized that this was God's decision to call my husband home, and I believe he knows what's best for us. He holds the future for us, and I must believe in his decision. He gave us almost 40 years together in marriage, which was a blessing. I had to let go and let God have his way in my life. At the beginning, she was in denial, did not want to believe what had happened, the different emotions that she went through. But the best thing that happened when she started reading the Bible and remembering what God that God would be there for her and would never leave her nor forsake her. And she got through it. She got through that time, but it wasn't easy. She indicated how much she cried. But she began to trust God and believe that he would get her through this. And he did. And some of you have experienced it, and some of you are still struggling with it. and asking those questions that Benny Franklin asked. Why? Lord God, why? Well, keep asking those questions. He will answer it one day. He will definitely answer it in his own way to you. Because each one of us have a different story. Our husband, a loved one died a different way. So he has the answer for you. Shock and denial. You will, and many of us, you have gone through a shock where you just avoid people. When you avoid people, you don't want to see, ask you at the beginning, will ask you about your loved ones that have lost. That is denial. You do not want to deal with it. You don't want to believe it. Even though you know that it did, you did, he did, you had a funeral and everything, you're still in denial. You avoid people. You avoid telephone calls. The phone just ring and you look and see who's calling, but you don't pick up the phone because you know that they're going to be talking about your loss. And you don't want to hear that. These are shock and denial. This is the first stage of grief. So just know that. And it's normal, natural, and necessary. It helps you from that first moment of hearing about your loss. Because I couldn't think about it. I had visitors that came by, you know, giving me their condolences and so forth. Yes, I was able to talk with them. But all I knew that I had to get this film done and put that behind me. So I wasn't focused on who I was planning this film for. Finally went to the wake. It all came down. I couldn't stop crying. I mean, it seemed like the faucet was open and would never close. No one would never close the faucet. It just kept on pouring. The water just kept on coming. With so many emotions, because I realized then that he was really gone. So shock can be healthy, and denial can be healthy, because it helps you through that period of time when you first hear about your loved one no longer here with you. So those are the two stages that I'm going to talk about tonight. The next Tuesday and the rest of the month, I will be doubling up on some of the stages, because we only have, I think, about three more Tuesdays in this month. It's a long month, but still, I wanted to discuss the shock and denial alone without talking about the pain and guilt and anger and bargaining that we'll be talking about next week. Just think about all the feelings and emotions that you went through. Just think about it. That the shock and denial did help to get you through that time in your life. So don't beat yourself up of the way that you're feeling, of the way that you felt before, because it's normal, natural, and necessary to go through some of these things. But just knowing that as we continue to talk about the stages of grief, that you can have an upward turn through this journey of grief. And we'll be discussing that later on. But so I know I promised you that I was going to send you this these two handouts. But I'm not going to send it to all the widows, because they're not all on. I'm only going to send it to the callers that I have on the air. I've gotten some of your telephone numbers as you were coming on. And give me a second, let me pull some more numbers. Some of the numbers I already know. I know we have faithful callers every Tuesday night, but I want to write down so I can text you this diagram of the seven stages of grief. And it's like a U. It's like a U, and it's a big U. It's where on the top is shock. And as you continue to go down, you go and you curve back up. You start from all of the hurt and emotional guilt, anger, depression. And then as you, the curve, you know how you at the bottom, you start going back up, upward turn. And at the very top is acceptance and hope. But I want to talk about that. You know how you put, if you ball up on top of a hill, it's going to roll back down. It's going to roll down that hill. Sometimes you can go backwards again. So just knowing that you can go back to any of these stages, just thinking about or hearing a song or something, a memory of your loved one. So it is okay for you to roll back down that hill, but it's also important for you to get back up. That's like a song, we fall, but we get back up. It's so important that you get back up that hill. But I will text you that. I'm going to text you that right after I hang up. But give me a second to write some numbers that I have not seen before. One second. I know I can send it to everybody, but right now I'm just focusing on who's calling in every week, and I'm going to focus on this group. And if the others want to join us, then I have the numbers that I need now. A lot of the numbers I'm familiar with, people that are calling on a regular basis. Okay. Here I go. I could have done it faster by taking a picture. You know one thing? Sometimes you don't think fast enough. I could have taken a picture with my phone at some of the numbers that I wasn't familiar with. Okay, only have 90 seconds left. 1 second here. I do want to get this diagram to you all this week. And I'm going to go ahead and text you that diagram because I want you to focus on that. And this is how the emotion, the stages go. It comes, you on the top of the hill, and then you go down just like a U-turn. So just knowing that it is okay when you go through these emotions. But the good thing is you must, that I'm going to say God is on top of the hill. At the end of the U, on going up, God is on the, that acceptance and hope is God waiting for you to get up there. Pulling you up. When you fall back down, he wants to pull you right back up again. So just knowing that there is a stage, a cycle that we all go through when we lose a special loved one. And what else would I want to talk about before we leave? There's only a couple more minutes. Just knowing that you will get there. And if you have any questions, text me. And you can call me at any time. You have the text number that I text you every week. So if you want to talk, I have time to talk. I'm busy, but I also have time to talk. So just knowing that I'm available to you at any time. If you want to talk about any kind of issue, if you just want to let some feelings out, just to bounce your feelings off someone, so I am available to you. I'm not just available on Tuesday night. I'm available anytime. I have given my life to God, that I am going to be faithful and available to widows and others who have lost a special loved one. So just knowing that you can always give me a call. But do purchase the book if you have not, A Widow's Touch, on Amazon.com for $14.99. And you can get the book right away by next Tuesday if you order it this week. And we'll talk about pain and guilt, anger and bargaining. Those are very good topics too. Yeah, there's a lot of us that we will feel guilt. We felt guilty when our loved one passed. Guilty about different things I'll talk about. Anger. Ooh, anger is a good one. How I know you guys were angry is really you were angry when you were in shock and denial. And you also did some bargaining. Lord, if I had done this, if I could have done this, would you bring back my loved one back? We got a conversation next week. So be blessed. Have a great week. And we wanted to say a short prayer. Heavenly Father, I just for your goodness and your mercy. Everyone is on this air tonight. I just ask you, Lord Jesus, to lift them up and let them know that these stages are stages that we go through life, emotions that we go through life, but we must keep our faith and trust in you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will get us back up that hill, even if we fall down. You'll be there to lift us up. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And all of you have a great and safe week. And tune in again next week as we continue to the seven stages of grief. And we also will be pulling some more stories from the book, A Widow's Touch. Good night. And have a good one.
The question is, when you're standing at a crossroads, what do you do? Real sweet, when a fork is in the road. When the world is on your shoulders, when your back is up against the wall, come on. What do you do? You hold on.
He has worked it out before.